different in that, well, it's a picture book. It's my first picture book, but that's not what makes it special. But it's fairly unique. There's not many books around that, deal with mental illness for children, especially for the age group that I've picked, which is preschoolers and younger age primary school. And it's also about bipolar. And when I was writing it, or when I first was looking for a book for this, because I have bipolar and I was trying to explain something to my children about my illness at the time, there was nothing around. And I searched worldwide. And then when I got better later on, I thought I'd write my book about, well, basically a mother who has bipolar, and it's written from the children's point of view.
It's a very challenging time, isn't it, when you are dealing with your own issues and then you have to care and bear in mind that you have children around you. How did you go about when you were writing this?
Well, I've just come out of hospital, so it's fairly pretty much what I'm doing now. I came out of hospital only a week ago. I've had a bad year. This is my third admission. They're older this time, so the way they respond is a little bit different to when they were smaller. But they have to, they've had to fend for themselves a lot more. They've grown up a lot. They've become a lot more independent. Because when I came home, I was struggling just to get through the days. The first few days in particular, I was crying a lot, curling up in the fetal position on my bed. And I tried to hide that from my children. I didn't want them to see me so upset. But there was one stage where my son did come into the room unexpectedly for me, and he saw me crying, and the look on his face was just horrible and made me feel terrible as a mother. But he was just really great. He just came up, put his arms around me, gave me a great big hug and said, "It's okay, Mum." And that was really special. And I thought that, yeah, they've had to get used to seeing Mum sometimes, you know, at her worst, not coping very well. And then there's the other times when I go the opposite direction, when I've been manic or hypermanic. And I don't know that they can really picture where they see that as any different, because that's probably them just thinking Mum's, you know, extra busy. Although I do get quite irritable and grumpy when I get hypermanic, when I go the other way. And then how they respond to that, my daughter, she became, when I came out of hospital this time, she was a little bit distant. She came, tended to not get too close to me. She had quite a bit of counselling this year, and they warned me that she might go that way just in case I got sick again and left her. And that was hard as a mother, because I wanted to come home and just, you know, touch her, give her hugs and be there and get back to where we were. But she was very standoffish, and she's only now just, you know, she offered me a hot chocolate the other day, which she went away and made, which is really sweet. But she's a bit up and down. So for her, I think it's affected her more than it has my son.
For our listeners, this is where you get really, really depressed or low. And this is when you get really, really happy or hyperactive, isn't it?
That's right.
So they're both extremes.
Yes, very much so.
So you're hardly in the middle.
When I'm well, I'm in the middle. And that's, I'm being lucky, because from 2007 till now, I've been relatively stable. I've never would say that I'm totally, for want of a better expression, normal, unfortunately. But I've done pretty well up until now. So it's quite ironic that when I first wanted and was looking for the book itself, like a book to explain things back in 2007, I was very ill then. And now when the book's been launched in 2 days' time, and this year in itself has been really traumatic, really quite devastating, because the illness has, you know, come back. And when I say come back, that I had relapses. And I've been in hospital 3 times this year. I was in April for 8.5 weeks. I was very manic, and it took them that long to bring me down. And in doing so, they took me off my antidepressants. And then I slumped into a deep depression. And I never really, this year, never really recovered from the depression. I just kept going down and was struggling at home and just trying to do the best I could. And then I had another admission back in July, and again the same thing happened. I came out after 2 weeks, that was struggling along, knew I wasn't getting any better, and they put me back on antidepressants, and I ended up going back into hospital for another 3 weeks. And that's when I've just come out a week ago. It like the name, manic and depression. It's like a roller coaster. I'm up and down all the time. Well, not all the time, but when I'm unwell, that's what happens. And for me, it's perhaps the lows, the depressive episodes, which are more debilitating than the manic episodes. I can become quite suicidal and just really not want to be here. And that's when all the guilt feelings come about being a terrible mother and, you know, that goes through my head and not a very good wife. Just all the awful things that come with being depressed. I almost become comatose at times where I just can hardly get out of bed. It's not a very nice time at all.
What was writing the book like for you?
I think at the time when I actually wrote it, because it came quite easy to me, I think I was actually having a hypomanic episode. I remember being up at 2 o'clock in the morning and the words were just flowing. Since then, when I wrote the first draft, that was. Since then, there's been a lot of subsequent drafts and the story's changed quite a bit. And it's been, I felt like I had a special responsibility because I had to be very careful with the words that I used, given that it was for preschoolers and young primary age children. I had to be careful that I wasn't going to scare them with the illustrations as well as the writing by saying things that might think that, you know, mum or dad are never going to get better, or they're going to go to hospital and not come back, or that it was their fault. So there was a lot of responsibility in writing it.
Did you think of your children, how you were going to explain it to them while you were writing it?
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. It was for them. The dedication is for my children. It's for both my children. If it hadn't been for them, I would never have written it. And in the drafts, because they were older, I often got them to, you know, read it, give me their feedback, etc., etc. And that was great, having them there and remembering what it was like, and the fact that when I was terribly ill and they were only 3 and 6, that there was nothing out there. So this time round, when they were older, I had to, you know, I just went back to the experience at the time and how they felt and what needed to be written. And as I said before, I had to be, you know, I felt a sense of responsibility, because there's even certain words, like using the word sick. If you use the word sick, you know, mummy's sick, they might think that any time she gets a cough or a cold, then perhaps she's going to be, you know, sent off to hospital.
Yes.
So you have to word it very carefully. And I didn't bring in any technical terms like manic or depression. We just talked about mum being very, very happy and overactive for manic, and for depressed, just, you know, crying a lot, not wanting to get out of bed, etc. So I've kept the language simple and appropriate for the age group. And I had to get, well, I didn't have to, but I decided to get feedback from a lot of the specialists who deal with your development in language and things like that, just to make sure I was on the right track. And yeah, that's how.
Before writing this story, how did you tell your children?
How did I explain it?
Yes, when they were young.
Well, a lot of the way that I explain it in the book, really, that mummy was, she was sick and that she was not able to do the things that she normally did, that it was, she was very sad and she had to go to hospital and get extra help. So it was always about getting help, telling them that it's not their fault, and that, you know, a lot of emphasis on the fact that I love them and that I would be coming home when I was better. Just reassuring them all the time. As I said, it's not their fault, but they're still loved. And also a really important thing, who was going to look after them? Because at that stage, the world revolves around them, and they want to know, well, if mum's not here, who's going to look after me? And I was very fortunate in that I had, and still have, a very supportive husband, and he was there to obviously care for them and still be there. And we had family and friends who often would take them, you know, overnight and things like that. Just a lot of reassuring along the way.
And I guess the most important thing is, that's you mentioned earlier to your children, is that you ask for help.
Yes, very much so. And not everyone does. And unfortunately, when it's a female and they're a mother, they often feel that they just have to keep going on, and they get to breaking point. And even for me, I was at hospital and I just felt guilty the whole time, and that I wanted to be back home. I felt terrible that I had left my children. I knew that I was doing the right thing, because if I wasn't able to look after myself. There was no way I was going to be able to look after my children. And the nurses had to keep reassuring me and reminding me of that. And the doctors and my husband was very supportive. But a lot of mothers just never get that far. They just keep thinking, you know, this is not fair on the children. I can't do it. I'm not going to leave it. And they get worse and worse and worse. And that's really sad. And especially for the ones who haven't got that backup support. You know, you might have a single mum, or you might have someone who just doesn't have a supportive husband or partner. And so they're just left to battle alone on their own. And unfortunately, they might get, you know, not get that opportunity to get well, being able to go into hospital or just being able to see a doctor, psychiatrist. They might not have the money to see a private psychologist, for instance. That's another barrier.
So it is an everyday battle for you.
Oh, certainly, yes.
Thank you very much for sharing your story, Michelle, and we wish you the best of health in the future.
Thank you very much, and thank you for allowing me to tell a bit of my story today.